Project Lawful aka Plane Crash by Yarwane aka Eliezer Yudkowsky and Lynn Tamande. To Hell with Science, episode 130.
I'll bite, since you're obviously dying for somebody to ask. How do you simplify that? I'm frankly not seeing it.
Well, if I've managed to remember all the numbers correctly, it's from a version of this problem I worked a while ago, back in Civilization, where you could just toss expressions like that into computers. Asterisk. This is clearly the same word as appeared in computer science.
I see.
And if you're wondering where the numbers 245 and 256 came from, in that problem, they just happened to be the results of generating 500 random bits, twice, and counting yes answers. But clearly, the computer could not have been truly randomizing. After all, it is 1.276 times more likely that these numbers would appear if they had truly been generated by a computer that first picked yeses with 49% probability, and then picked yeses with 51.2% probability. The conspiracy has been at work again. Would you agree with this stance, Willa?
This is more than a little mortifying, but at least a bunch of her peers didn't get this right first. She can keep her composure. Really, she can. This is something to do with making the guess about what happened after seeing the data, isn't it? Instead of guessing the ratios first for stats matter and stats don't matter, we did the experiment and then made up the exact shapes of our guesses after, which is a naughty thing we weren't supposed to do. And there's some deep mathematical thing about doing that, looking at data you already have and matching that way, that tends to produce these relative probabilities around 1.25 or so, isn't there?
Yep, though embarrassingly, I don't recall the exact constant. Back when I was memorizing those numbers in order to impress the younger kids I was teaching by pretending to calculate it all on the spot, they were too young to ask that question, so I didn't memorize the answer. But as you say, Willa, you did indeed try to do something naughty by calculating the likelihoods for latent frequencies that exactly matched the observed frequencies. Maybe if you'd run a pilot experiment and found 40% yeses for all 10s and 60%, yeses for all 14s, you would have written down the numbers 40% and 60% in advance in the pre-registered version of your published experimental report that you'd put out and gotten signed and time-stamped by larger civilization before you'd collected any data. Then nobody would call you naughty if you ran the likelihoods for the 40% and 60% hypothesis and compared that exact hypothesis to the fair coin spin hypothesis. So hopefully it's starting to become clear that all of the pieces of science hang together, even if I didn't explain them all that well. Anyways, let's say you didn't run a pilot experiment that produced 40% and 60% as a hypothesis distinguished in advance, or 49% and 51.2%. Then what might you say in your pre-registered, published experimental report that doesn't have the results filled in yet about how you plan to analyze the data? People besides Willa are allowed to answer too.
What are we trying to figure out? We want people who can solve all the problems in 30 minutes? Then we probably care about whether all 14s are enough better than all 10s to make up for how much rarer they are. So we should just check, how likely does it look that all 14s are 100 times better at this, or even 5 times better at this?
Seems slightly shaded towards how do I make more spell silver, instead of how do I understand what's going on inside of spell silver refining. But leaving that aside, suppose we accept that goal framing. What math do we do to it?
So, my complaint is that doing math on how much we should change our minds from a starting assumption, there's no difference, feels fake. Unless we're doing this study out of idle curiosity, it's only a worthwhile study if civilization was starting with the belief not just that there's a difference, but that there's a large one. If 14s aren't wildly better at this, then there's no way you'd use them. So the math is easier if you assert that we thought there'd be no difference, but I can't really imagine thinking that. But on the other hand, there's no math you can do on the thing I just said. You would get wildly different answers if you started out thinking 14s are 5 times better versus if you think they're 100 times better. And I thought maybe there was some way to specify started out thinking 14s are at least 5 times better. But I'm actually not seeing it. I don't know if that means there's no math directly for answering the question that would actually motivate my civilization to do this experiment, or if there is, but it's far more complicated than the starting math, and we need to get that nailed down first.
Asking, what if there's no difference? And what if Tri-14S are at least 5 times more likely to guess than Tri-10S are both questions that are semantically well-formed. It's easy to visualize ways reality can be that makes those propositions true or false. But the second question is hard to answer directly using the statistics that published experimental reports are supposed to calculate. To be clear, you could see a report saying that they tested 1,000 subjects of each type and 103 Tri-10s and 622 Tri-14s guessed in time. You could look at that report and say, yep, sure looks to me like Tri-14s are at least 5 times as likely as Tri-10s to guess in time. But in stating that, you'd be arriving at a posterior, not stating the kind of evidence that a published experimental report summarizes. You'd be doing something that intrinsically revolves around priors and not just likelihoods. Do any of the candidates want to take a stab at saying why Carissa's question of ultimate interest to her civilization, are Tri-14S at least 5 times as likely as Tri-10S to guess in 30 minutes? Is something that's ill-formed for an experimental summary to directly summarize an evidential update about? Why it can't just report on that the way it could report on a pre-registered hypothesis that Tri-10S were 40% likely to guess and Tri-14S 60% likely.
Asmodia, after querying security somewhat plaintively, sighs and gives the green light to the only new candidate who is reckless enough to risk directly criticizing the ideas of the chosen of Asmodeus at this stage in their acquaintance. Can this person please at least look around hesitantly before she tentatively raises her hand?
She very hesitantly justifies this particular incident of recklessness in her mind, both to herself and anyone listening. She just wants to learn things. But she's also very happy she can help the project right now. She does do her best to also look very hesitant, as is in character for Alterwilla and also generally appropriate. 5 times better at this seems like a tricky statement to use with this math. When you say a category has a specific chance of its own, you can go through and multiply all the probabilities in the category independently and compare it to other categories that have been multiplied up independently. But with 5 times better, the two categories sort of depend on each other. You could guess that 10S have a 10% chance, so 14S would need a 50% or better chance. Or 10S could have a 15% chance, and 14S would need to be better than 75%. Or 10S could have a 25% chance, and it would be impossible for 14S to be 5 times better. And somehow, our 14S 5 times better than 10ST needs to take account of all of those at once, and everything in between. Or maybe you mean something more complicated than that by 5 times better, but I think that would make this more of an issue, not less of one. And it's even worse, because there's an implied at least 5 times better there. So we need to account for all the imagined frameworks where the multiplier is at least 5, all the way up to infinity.
She smiles pleasantly. There are no power dynamics here. They're all just speculating about math. I agree that all of those make it terribly complicated, and yet I look at these experimental results and I think, so 14S, it looks like, aren't better at this by a factor of 5. Clearly, in my head, I am calculating the odds of observing these results, given my theory, and judging them as low. I'm just not doing it precisely. And so what's bothering me is it impossible to do precisely so the thing it feels like I'm doing in my head is an illusion? Or is it possible, but hard enough we shouldn't bother without the computers of Keltham's world? Or is there elegant math that makes all those numbers actually possible to calculate? The reason this is bothering me is the closest thing I've seen to science is merchant houses, going, does this supplier provide higher quality by enough of a margin to justify their higher prices? They do tests like this all the time. But I don't see how to use this math to answer their question.
There's obviously ways to do lawfully anything you can do with your brain by seeing the results yourself. Sometimes it takes more law than you have. Sometimes it involves calculations that wouldn't make sense to put directly into a published experimental report. Still, Willa has put her publication priority timestamp squarely on the key issue. By way of approaching the complicated proper math by a simpler hacky route, suppose the pre-registered analysis said that they were going to compare hypotheses for each subject group having 7 possible latent propensities to solve the puzzle in time of 0, 1/10, 1/5, 2/5, 1/2, 3/5, 4/5, 9/10, and 1. Since some subjects in both groups solved the puzzle and some didn't, we can cross off the 0 and 1 propensities from both cases. They've been falsified outright. The likelihood is 0 conditional on those propensities being the true latent state of reality. Now, let's go ahead and compute the likelihoods for each surviving propensity in each group. All 10 S, 2 yes, 3 no. Propensity, likelihood. 1/10, 1/10, squared asterisk, 9/10, cubed equal sign, 729, 1/100, 2/10, 2/10, squared asterisk, 8/10, cubed equal sign, 1024, 1/100, 4/10, 4/10, squared asterisk, 6/10, cubed equal sign, 3456, 1/100, 5/10 equal sign, 3125, 1/100, 6/10, 6/10, squared asterisk, 4/10, cubed, equal sign, 2304, 1/100, 8/10, equal sign, 512, 1/100, 9/10, equal sign, 81, 1/100, all, 14s, 3s, 2 no, equal sign, same but table flipped. The point which Willa is gesturing at is that it's not possible in the same way to speak of the combined likelihood of all our observations. If all 14s guess more often than all 10s, or if all 14s guess at least 5 times as often as all 10s. At least, not without dragging in some additional assumptions.
Corva doesn't at all see why you can't just ask whether all 14s get it within 30 minutes 5 times more often than all 10s, do the experiment, and then report whether your records of it confirm or deny that this happened. But Willa and the Chosen of Asmodeus are obviously much better at this than her, so if they're stuck on it, then whatever Corva's doing is going to end up being humiliatingly wrong.
Keltham, advisory. The new candidates have spent their previous educational lives in unimaginably to you awful Galarian schools, designed by Intelligence 14 teachers for Intelligence 10 students, where asking stupid questions means that you lose face in front of the other students and the teacher rebukes you. Right now, most of them are staying quiet and not asking any questions. This is not the good sign that it would be in Dathilan. Here, it means that they have made a completely reasonable decision to let other candidates ask stupid questions first and see whether we, the current researchers, were being honest with them about whether that's safe here. I'm not quite sure whether they're internally wondering, what's wrong with just testing a lot of people and reporting whether all 14s get it 5 times as often? Or more like, why would anybody do this sort of experiment in the first place? Or maybe, but what's an experiment actually? Because the baseline word translated in my head but not in theirs, but...
Thank you, Ione. Can I possibly solve this problem by offering anybody here 1 silver to ask whatever stupid questions they weren't asking? At least in Dathilan, offering to pay for something is taken as a credible sign that you want it.
I wouldn't bet on it. Maybe if you told them to message me with the questions, let me ask it for them, and then you pay me and I pay them after class.
What if I literally truth-spelled myself about...
Same problem as in the cooperation defection dilemma if you're a chaotic neutral outsider. They wouldn't be certain you would know correctly whether they'd lose face in front of you, and it wouldn't solve the problem of losing face in front of the other students.
You know, I've read about the concept of low-trust environments, but never really understood it before. Ione, you okay with being tapped by Truthspell about how, if somebody else asks a question through you, you won't reveal who it was?
Most of the current researchers will see who, Ione. We've made our soul arrangements, and our arcane sight will detect the message spell.
Right. Well, I can still re-ask a question if anybody messages it to me, and at least Keltham and the other candidates won't know who.
And if that doesn't work, Ione can introduce a delay between being messaged and when she speaks. And I'll start paying a copper to anybody who pretends to message Ione but doesn't actually sub-vocalize anything to her, so as to create plausible deniability about who was actually asking questions. If that doesn't work, I'll stop and actually think about the problem, though that's something of an extreme measure.
Seems like a good time to mention that I had that question about what's wrong with just testing a bunch of people and reporting whether or not there were at least 5 times as many All-14s who solved it, and didn't ask because I am flawed and imperfect and forgot the rules about what truly serves Asmodeus here.
I'm actually not sure how Keltham would answer that one. It's not thinking in probabilities, though. And what do you do if you test a few thousand people and 100 All-10s solve it and 499 All-14s solve it, report that the theory failed?
Corva is sitting on about 10 different stupid questions at this point. She would just ask them out loud at this point if there was only one of them, but with 10, it's hard to pick. The most recent question is that she thinks she can see what Keltham's doing now. It's something about converting the results of the experiment into probabilities for different guesses about how the world is being the right guess or something, but she has no idea why the calculations he did were the right ones in order to get those probabilities out the other side.
Ione holds up a hand and seems to listen. Okay, message from somebody who says that their issue is actually that they've got no idea why the calculations you did on the whiteboard are how you convert the results of the experiment into probabilities for how those are the right guesses for how the world is.
Because Alter Cheliak students would not be this cautious, and Asmodia is sick of it, and security is running detect thoughts anyways. This is Cheliak's, and they have ways of obtaining questions from reluctant askers.
Huh. Asmodia, you may have needed to do more basic probability problems with your students, not just run them through all of the abstract high-level stuff, though I appreciate that you had sharply bounded time.
Yeah, understood. I'll see if I can fix my fault there without taking up your own time.
Corva didn't message, so instead of being nervous, she's assuming that someone behind her also had one of her questions. Not surprising if Pilar also generated a different one of her questions independently, which makes her feel a little less bad about herself. Maybe she'll at least have another day to go over it and figure out what just happened.
Amusing. Now the security wants to see who works it out before they get their silvers after class and the expressions on their faces if they don't.
Meanwhile, the ever-oblivious Keltham is turning to gesture at his prestidigitated whiteboard. All 10s, 2 yes, 3 no. Propensity, likelihood, 1/10, 1/10, squared asterisk, 9/10, cubed equal sign, 729. 100,000ths, 2/10, 2/10, squared asterisk, 8/10, cubed equal sign, 1,024, 100,000ths, 4/10, 4/10, squared asterisk, 6/10, cubed equal sign, 3,456, 100,000ths, 5/10 equal sign, 3,125, 100,000ths, 6/10, 6/10, squared asterisk, 4/10, cubed, equal sign, 2,304, 100,000ths, 8/10 equal sign, 512, 100,000ths, 9/10 equal sign, 81, 100,000ths all, 14s, 3 yes, 2 no, equal sign same, but table flipped. Right, so, in the first row we've got the hypothesis. What if all 10s have a 0.1 propensity towards yes? Where, in this context, what that means is, suppose the world is such a way that a random person from our survey pool, about whom we know only that they have 10s in all mental stats of intelligence, wisdom, and charisma, has a 10% propensity to guess the correct answer on the 246 challenge within 30 minutes. Where propensity is sort of a metaphysically fraught concept, but for our purposes in the kids' version of the lesson, suppose 10% yes Propensity in all 10 essays means, suppose the world itself is such that, from our perspective, it works out to 10% of the all 10 S guessing within 30 minutes. Nethys, maybe, would know that some people in that pool were 99% likely to get it, and some were 0.1% likely to get it. So it's not that the 10% chance of yes is an objective property of every single person. But from our perspective, the world is such a place that Nethys would say that around 10% of the people in that pool were 99% likely to get it, and we don't know which people. That's one hypothesis, the one in the first row. The second row's hypothesis is that all 10 SS in our survey pool have a 20% propensity towards yes when we'll test them using our current experimental setup. Suppose we test 5 all 10 subjects, one after another, rather than in a simultaneous session, and see these exact results in order: no, yes, yes, no, no. After getting a no result with the first all 10 subject, we've seen something that was 90% likely in the world, where all 10 S have a 10% propensity to yes, but 80% likely in the world, where all 10 S have a 20% propensity to produce yes results. After seeing the yes from the second subject, we've now seen an additional fact that was 10% likely in the world, where all 10 S have a 10% yes propensity, and 20% likely in the world, with 20% propensity. The two facts combined, that we've seen so far, are then 0.9*0.1=0.09 likely in the 0.1 propensity world, and 0.8*0.2=0.16 likely in the 0.2 propensity world. We aren't saying anything there, one way or another, about the probability that the world is like that. We're not saying anything about the probability that Nethys would, if we could ask him or Ioni could, write correct on our sheet of paper, if we wrote down the guess, all 10s have a 10% propensity to yes, to say that we'd need to know the prior probability of that hypothesis, and the prior on all the other hypotheses, and have already computed the likelihood of all the other hypotheses and renormalized to get the posterior. Which isn't a sort of thing that experimental reports try to do. Other people could know other evidence that would be relevant to whether Nethys was likely to write correct on the guess. Stating probabilities like that are what prediction markets are for. What we're saying is, just flatly suppose that the world is an utter fact, a place where all 10s have a 10% propensity to solve the 246 challenge within 30 minutes relative to the experimental procedure we're using. Then it is valid, as a matter of logical deduction, to say that you're 9% likely to get a no followed by a yes on the first two subjects tested. It is likewise valid to say that, flatly assuming the hypothetical world where all 10s have a 20% yes propensity, you have a 16% chance of getting a no followed by a yes. This is the key fact that other people need to know in order to update their beliefs based on your experimental results, so it's what the experimental report summarizes. It's a very local fact. It's like how, if you suppose that x equals sine 3 and y equals sine 4, you can calculate that x asterisk y equals sine 12 without worrying about whether z equals sine 5 or z equals sine 7. If somebody else already ran tests on 100 subjects with all 10 S, they might have seen results that pretty strongly updated them on the chance that Nethys would write correct on the 20% propensity hypothesis. They could have gotten 80 yes results, for example, which would make them pretty sure that hypothesis was wrong. But they can't have gotten any results relevant to the proposition that, in the hypothetical world where 20% of all 10 S guess within 30 minutes, given our experimental procedure, there's a 16% chance that we'll get a no followed by a yes. You don't need to read all of the experimental reports in the world. You don't need to follow any prediction markets to report that summary of the results you got. Suppose your third, fourth, and fifth results are yes, no, no. After the third result, we've seen data that's 0.9*0, 1*0, 1=0.009. Likely in the 10% propensity world, and that we'd have a 0.8*0, 2*0, 2=0.03, 2 chance of getting in the 20% propensity world. After the fourth result, a no. We've seen things. We're 0.008 one likely to get in the 10% world, and 0.0256 likely to get given 20% propensity. After the fifth result, a no. It's 0.00729 or 729100000 and, haha, whoops, 0.02048 or 2048. 100000 for 20% propensity. This, by the way, being among the reasons not to trust your teacher, even when he seems like such an uncomplicated, straightforward, reliable person, it is literally actually possible for him to be mistaken. Keltham prestidigitates the corrected table of likelihoods. All 10s, 2, yes, 3no, propensity, likelihood, jahiwern kanye m. Dummy, 1/10, 1/10, squared, asterisk, 9/10, cubed, equal sign, 729, 100,000ths, 2/10, 2/10, squared, asterisk, 8/10, cubed, equal sign, 2048, 100,000ths, 4/10, 4/10, squared, asterisk, 6/10, cubed, equal sign, 3456, 100,000ths, 5/10 equal sign, 3,125, 100,000ths, 6/10, 6/10, squared asterisk, 4/10, cubed, equal sign, 2,304, 100,000ths, 8/10 equal sign, 512, 100,000ths, 9/10 equal sign, 81, 100,000ths. All, 14s, 3 yes, 2 no. Equal sign same, but table flipped. I wish I had some way of asking you whether that helped, anonymous question asker, but maybe communicate again to Ioni if that was still unclear.
Security, don't relay anything further about that topic to Ioni unless somebody takes the initiative to ask. The meaning should be perfectly clear at this point, and if any newbies can't keep up and also can't ask questions, they're obviously headed for the dropout category.
Nothing yet, which hopefully indicates it was clear, and if not, well, they were adults and made their own decisions. Asterisk. A saying now acquired from the kidnapped rescued Taldane girls in the secondary site. Though the same idea certainly does exist in Cheliacs. Indeed, there exist many Chelish variations on this saying, including several with infernal loanwords in them and a couple straight from hell.
Alexander raises his hand. I have a question. If I have two hypotheses, say 40% and 60%, I know how to update them based on this data. But at all times, Keltham has said, Alexander obviously does not have it at all times. You have a hypothesis that is vague, not specific. What if all my guesses are wrong? How do you weight the answer? Anything but my hypotheses?
Good question. I'll ask you to hold that thought pending subtopic hash 3. Keltham gestures back to his previous list of subtopics he shouldn't forget to talk about. Or actually, I should maybe just write that one down. Hash 1. Published experimental reports. Usually don't assign priors or calculate posteriors. They just report all cheap details of the raw data, and maybe calculate some likelihoods from obvious hypotheses, hash 2. Separate experiments are usually supposed to avert conditional dependencies. Watch out for when that isn't true, hash 3. If every obvious hypothesis has unexpectedly low likelihood over all the combined data, it means the true theory wasn't in your starting set, often that different experiments had different hidden conditions, hash 4. How to specially process the special meta-hypothesis, all other hypotheses. Oh, and if that last baseline word isn't translating, maybe the Taldane equivalent would be everything we haven't thought of explicitly, all the theories we're not considering. Anyways, this has hopefully ended up making hash 1 a little clearer. Going back to hash 2, what would make a good entrance point? Alright, so this isn't addressing hash 2 right away, just introducing an idea we'll use there, but suppose that we tried summarizing the hypotheses here into 3 buckets. One bucket that the yes propensity is 0.1, or 0.2, or 0.4. One bucket that the propensity is 0.5. one bucket that the propensity is 0.6 or 0.8 or 0.9. Is it then possible to describe the likelihood of our data no, yes, yes, no, no, conditional on the first or third bucket? For the middle bucket, it's obviously 3,125, 100000, or 132.
Why did the only candidate who's letting herself generate responses have to be her? Yes, but be fucking shy, okay?
She makes sure to look back and forth before answering, as if she's making sure nobody else is going to say anything. It'd have to be the sum of the likelihoods, right? Or the whole idea of probability wouldn't make any sense. So 0.1 or 0.2 or 0.4 would be total likelihood of 729 plus 2048 plus 3456 / 100. 000 equals sign 6233 100,000ths versus 0.5 at 3125 100,000ths inches. Except that only works if you thought 0.1 and 0.2 and 0.4 had the same chance to begin with, before you did the experiment. And even 0.5, too, as likely as all the others. If you thought they all had different before chances, it would mess up the weights, and I'm not sure doing that would work anymore. Maybe you'd have to do them individually if you couldn't trust they started off the same.
Suppose I've got a coin that might have a 4/10 chance of coming up queen, or maybe a 6/10 chance of coming up queen. I'm not really sure. Seems about equally likely to be each. Would you agree that in this case, the coin is 4 plus 6 / 10, equal sign 10, 10, likely to come up queen?
Oh no, something's definitely wrong. But she can fix it. She knows she can fix it. It's just math. No, definitely not. But this is relative likelihoods and not absolute likelihoods. Maybe that doesn't help. Is the idea that we have to divide by the number of cases our bucket used for it to work? And maybe that the before chance we used then is the sum of the before chances of all the pieces of the bucket together.
Stop trying to think so much in complicated math and fall back on common sense. I spin one fair coin, 50% chance of queen, 50% of text. If the first coin comes up queen, I take out a new coin that's biased to have a 60% chance of coming up queen. If the first coin comes up text, I take out a different new coin that's biased to have a 40% chance of coming up queen. Suppose I was actually going to carry out that procedure. You don't get to observe the prior coin spin. What's your betting chance that when I spin whichever new coin I take out, it shows up queen?
It has to be 50%, which is the same as 0. 5 asterisk 0, 6 plus 0, 5 asterisk 0, 4. But if the first coin is in this case the before chance, we don't know that it's 50-50, do we? She has ever gone through cycles like this getting tortured a few times. But being tortured is what happens to good Asmodeans when they're wrong, right?
I mean, in this case, you know because I told you to assume that setup and answer me conditional on the assumption.
To answer the question, drawls Alexandra, looking up from his scribbled notes, if we assume that 0.1, 0.2, and 0.4 all start with equal prior likelihoods, and similarly for 0.6, 0.8, and 0.9, it's 729 100000 plus 2048 100000 plus 3456 100000 divided by 3 because there are 3 equal possibilities compared to 2304 100000 plus 512 100000 plus 81 100000 divided by 3 for the same reason gives you, he's been doing calculations while Willa talks, roughly 2,070 over 100,000, as opposed to a little under 700 over 100,000, giving you a ratio of a little under 3-1 in favor of the first bucket of theories against the second bucket. Wait, no, that's obviously wrong. Oh, damn it.
Does that work? Asks Korva, sounding genuinely unsure. That gives you a lower probability for both of the buckets that had 3 hypotheses in them than for the bucket that had only 1 hypothesis, even though the results seem more consistent with a true answer of 0.4 than with 0.5.
That's correct. If you spin a fair 3-sided coin, and then depending on the results, start flipping a new biased coin with 0.1 or 0.2 or 0.4 propensity to queen, your chances of getting text, queen, queen, text, text are around 2%. Whereas if you just start spinning a fair two-sided coin, your chance of getting text, queen, queen, text, text is around 3%. The 0.4 sub-hypothesis is most likely to generate text, queen, queen, text, text. But that hypothesis starts out with only one-third of the prior probability mass in the less than 50% bucket of hypotheses. The bucket as a whole is less likely to generate the sequence than the sub-hypothesis inside it. Incidentally, one would not in baseline say that the sub-hypothesis of 0.4 propensity started out with a one-third likelihood of being true, but that it started out with a one-third prior probability of being true. Some of the reason why I've been using those baseline words is because they have precise meanings, whereas Taldane has a bunch of words like chance and probability and likelihood that all apparently mean the same thing. Why does this crazy language even have that don't actually answer me unless it's important somehow?
Wait, Keltham thinks he's right? But he's wrong. Alexandra thinks he's just going to stick with the odds of him failing the most important class in his life have gone down, and be damned to the truth.
She's so confused. She's going to raise her hand. Because she feels like she's being confused in a smart way and not a dumb way for once. But if they've belabored this point for too long, then he can ignore her. That's how raising hands works, right?
Points finger at Korva.
I think I must be confused about how the buckets work. Because, like, say we have one hypothesis that the true value is exactly 50%, and one hypothesis that the true value is less than 50%, and one hypothesis that the true value is more than 50%. It seems like the likelihood, or probability, sorry, I didn't catch the distinction. It seems like it must be more likely that the true value is below 50% than that it's exactly 50%, even though the below 50% space also includes values like 0%, which has obviously already been outright disproven. So I guess I feel like if 0.4 is more likely to be right than 0.5, I don't see why the hypothesis that covers a bigger space, that also includes the value that the true value is most likely to be closest to, becomes less likely just because that hypothesis also includes values that are much less likely to be right than some other narrower hypothesis. And gag, I'm not sure I said all that right.
Okay, wow, people's intuitions about probability work really differently when they haven't been raised as Dathalani children. I think probably you just need to invent a whole lot of problems and play around with them, the way anyone, well, the way any Dathalani kids would do as kids. Let's say I spin a fair two-sided meta-meta coin. Let all coins be assumed two-sided and assumed fair, unless explicitly stated otherwise. Anyways, new procedure. First, I spin a meta-meta coin. If the meta-meta coin comes up text, I spin an object-level coin 5 times. If the meta-meta coin comes up queen, I spin a three-sided meta coin. Then, depending on the result of that coin, I 5 times spin a biased object-level coin with 0.1 or 0.2 or 0.4 propensity to produce queens. Keltham will attempt to whiteboard this. Meta-meta coin is 1/2 1/2, gemeta coin, 0.5, propensity, vertical bar. Object level coin, 1/3, 1/3, 1/3, vertical bar, 0.1, 0.2, 0.4. It's actually just true that if you don't know any of the meta spins and just see my unknown object level coin producing text queen, queen text text, there's roughly 2 chances in 5 that my meta-meta coin came up queen and picked a biased coin, and 3 chances in 5 that my meta-meta coin came up text and picked a fair coin. Why? Because when you end up with a biased coin, it's sometimes biased 0.4, but 2/3 of the time biased 0.1 or 0.2. Mostly you'll see fewer queens when the meta-meta coin comes up queen. When you see text queen, queen text text, that could be because the meta coin was flipped and selected the 0.4 coin. But more likely, the meta-meta coin selected a fair object level coin, and that fair object level coin happened to produce 2 queens and 3 texts. A Dathalani kid would now be programming a computer to run 1,000,000 simulations of this procedure and show them how many cases of text queen queen text. Text were generated by the meta meta coin coming up queens versus text, and verifying that's how it actually played out. Here, we'd need to find a 3-sided coin and a 10-sided coin, or maybe a cube and an icosahedron, regular 20-sided solid to spin. And then we'd probably have to do a few hundred spins to collect enough data for the statistics if the math didn't feel intuitive. But I'd hope that the first time the meta-metacoin came up queen, and you spun a metacoin and it selected 0.1, and the resulting object-level coin produced text, it might become more intuitive. Why, when the meta-metacoin comes up queen, what you mostly expect to see is mostly text. So when you don't see that, it's not likely the meta-metacoin came up queen.
That makes sense, but how do we know that there isn't instead a four-sided metacoin that picks among all the possible coins, including the fair one?
In terms of this particular problem, because I told you so. Why did I tell you so? Because I was trying to pump the intuition that, assuming 0.1, 0.2, 0.4 equally prior probable within the less than 0.5 bitro bucket, that bucket was then less likely to yield text queen. Queen text text than the 0.5 bucket, even though 0.4 was in that bucket. I was trying to pump that intuition by showing that if the whole biased bucket and the whole unbiased bucket started out equally probable, then after seeing text queen, queen text text, we'd think the unbiased bucket had become more probable and the biased bucket less probable. So what we saw must have a lower likelihood in the biased bucket that starts out with 0.1, 0.2, and 0.4 having equal prior probabilities. I mean, we could argue about how that would go in real life, instead of a thought experiment. You could say that all four hypotheses are equally simple to describe out loud, and should therefore be around equally probable. I could then counter-argue that if we're talking about an actual coin, then in real life, most coins are probably pretty close to being fair random number generators when spun, though I ought to actually verify that here before I bet anything important on it. So it should actually take hundreds of observations before we start believing the coin is 40% biased towards queen, I would argue. 5 coin flips is nowhere near enough. Therefore, I'd conclude, the coin is biased 40% queen is a lot less likely than the coin is an unbiased random generator. But it would be better if arguments like that didn't have to appear in our published experimental reports, which is one angle towards grokking, an underlying central reason why published experimental reports ought to summarize likelihoods for hypotheses that are more like observational likelihood if this coin has 0.4 queen propensity, and less like observational likelihood if this coin has a less than 50% queen propensity. If you just summarize for the reader, what is the likelihood of my data in the world where the coin comes up 40% queen, the world of 50% queen, the world of 10% queen? Then you don't have to confront the question of whether 40% queen was 1-3 as prior probable or equally prior probable with 50% queen. Oh, and, to make it explicit, examples of baseline terms for prior, likelihood, posterior. Prior coin is 40%. Queens, probability of queen equals 0.4 equals 1/6. Prior coin is 50%. Queens, probability of queen equals 0.5 equals 1/2. Likelihood of TQQTT, if coin is 40% queens, probability of TQQTT given queen equals 0.4 equals 0.003456. Likelihood of TQQTT, if coin is 50% queen, fair. Probability of TQQTT given queen equals 0.5 equals 0.03125. Posterior coin is 40% queens after seeing TQQTT. Probability of queen equals 0.4, given TQQTT equals 3456, divided by 729, plus 2048, plus 3456, plus 3125 times 3, greater than 1/5, less than 1/4. Prior coin is less than 50%, queens. Probability of queen less than 0.5 equals probability of queen equals 0.1 plus probability of queen equals 0.2 plus probability of queen equals 0.4 equals 1/6 plus 1/6 plus 1/6 equals 1/2. Likelihood of TQQTT if less than 50%. Queen. Probability of TQQTT given queen less than 0.5 equals 1/3 times 0.0729 plus 1/3 times 0.02048. plus 1/3 times 0.03456 approximately equals 0.02. How am I doing, Corva Talandria?
I think I get that as far as it goes with the coins, but I don't immediately see how it applies to the people. If it applies to the people the same way, I'm assuming it does, but I'm not sure I should be.
I mean, the sense in which it also applies to the people is that your report should summarize the likelihood that your results were generated by a 10% propensity for all 10s to guess within 30 minutes, not the likelihood that your results were generated by a less than 50% propensity for all 10s to guess within 30 minutes, because to do the latter thing, you have to make a bunch of weird assumptions, and your math is just going to get more and more needlessly complicated as you dig yourself in further. And by way of showing how much further into complicated trouble you'd end up digging yourself. Again, let's say we were going by bucketed hypotheses. One hypothesis, the Metacoin hypothesis, says that there's a 1/3 chance we live in a world where all 10s have a 10% propensity to solve 246 in 30 minutes. 1/3 chance it's 20% propensity, 1/3 40%. The other hypothesis, the Faircoin hypothesis, says we live in a world where all 10s have a 50% propensity to solve in 30. We don't actually need to consider the probability of these two hypotheses relative to each other. Let's say we test 5 all 10 subjects and get no, yes, yes, no, no, meaning 2 subjects guessed within the time limit, 3 didn't. Our experimental report is just going to summarize the 0.2 likelihood of the data assuming the Metacoin hypothesis bucket, and the 0.3 likelihood of the data assuming the Faircoin hypothesis. That's true, regardless of the relative prior odds of the two hypotheses relative to each other. So we publish our report, 0.2 likelihood for the less than 50% bucket, 0.3 likelihood for the 50% propensity hypothesis. There's a questionable assumption that 10%, 20%, and 40% were all 1, 3, likely assuming the propensity was under 50%. But fine, whatever. We've got to assume some prior distribution to report a combined likelihood on that whole bucket all at once, yo. Along come some replicators. They test 5 more people. They get yes, no, 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 yes. So also 2 subjects who guessed and 3 who didn't. Now what? What does the combined evidence say? Anybody want to give the obvious wrong answer?
Obvious wrong answer. This new data also has 0.2 likelihood on the less than 50% bucket, and 0.3 likelihood on the 50% bucket. So the combined likelihood across the two experiments is 0.2 times 0.2 equals 0.4 equals 0.04, assuming less than 50% and 0.3, asterisk 0.3 equal sign 0.09, assuming 50%.
And why isn't that just totally right? Or maybe I'm trolling you by calling it the wrong answer. And it is right. Candidates only. You can message Ioni if you're worried your reply is stupid.
Are we still not considering any other hypotheses and just interested in the relative ratios?
Yep.
We've become more confident, which sounds right. Does this get the same result as if we did one experiment with 10 people in the first place? I'm not sure if it does. She's going to start checking the math.
Well, everyone else do feel free to follow along and try the math on that part. Raise your hand when done. Practice accuracy before you practice speed. After all, a lawful way of looking at the world shouldn't care whether you call your collected data by the name of one experiment or 2 experiments. You should always get exactly the same answer either way. Though to be sure, you might have occasion to notice that different data subsets might have been collected under possibly different conditions.
If you wish to support this AI reading and others like it, please visit patreon.com/askwhocastsai. Any help is appreciated. And thank you to executive producer John Doe 7776059.